It's time for Windows Weekly. Paul Thurrott, Mary Jo Rifoli are here. So's Rich Woods from NeoWin, because we've got a big show for you. They're discussing what Windows Cloud might mean. Apparently, there's a new SKU coming. We'll also take a look at the latest build as we inch towards the Creators Update. That and a whole lot more coming up next on Windows Weekly.
Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is Twit.
Bandwidth for Windows Weekly is provided by CacheFly at CacheFly.com.
Hi, this is Leo Laporte, and once again, time for Twit's audience survey. We'd really like to hear from you. It's only going to take a couple of minutes, really. That's all. Just go to twit.tv/survey and let us know what you think. Your anonymous feedback will help us make Twit even better. And thanks for your continued support. This is Windows Weekly with Paul Thurrott and Mary Jo Foley, episode 503, recorded Wednesday, February 1st, 2017. Sneaker Streaker. Windows Weekly is brought to you by Rocket Mortgage from Quicken Loans. When it comes to the big decision of choosing a mortgage lender, work with one that has your best interest in mind. Use Rocket Mortgage for a transparent, trustworthy home loan process that's completely online at quickenloans.com/windows. And by Amazon Web Services. For companies to succeed today, they need a range of tools that most cloud vendors just don't offer. Amazon Web Services, the leading cloud service provider, listens to builders, offering more solutions than any other cloud provider. Check out podcast.aws and see how AWS lets builders build. And by WordPress. WordPress powers 27% of the sites on the web, more than any other platform. Now it's easy to get started with 27% off a premium or business plan at wordpress.com/windows. It's time for Windows Weekly, the show where we talk about Microsoft and the latest news from Microsoft with Paul Thurrott from Thurrott.com, Thurott.com, Mary Jo Foley of allaboutmicrosoft.com, the ZDNet blog. And there's somebody in between you. It's a little sandwich today. Hello, Paul. Hello, Mary Jo.
Hello, Leo.
Hello. And introduce our special guest.
Sure,
I will. Hello, Rich.
Our Hello, special Rich. Guest is somebody both of us know pretty well. His name is Rich Woods. He is the senior North American editor for NeoWin.
Nice. Nice. We always quote NeoWin, so it's good to give him a little credit now here.
Yes.
And you guys probably run into each other all the time at conferences and events. And
oh, yeah.
Midnight parties and things like that.
Sure. Rattle and hum. Stays in Vegas. Yeah, we've seen him there.
Yeah. Are you in New York, Rich?
Yeah, I'm on Long Island. Ah. So close enough.
All right. So it's a East Coast contingent is well represented here. Mm-hmm. Do we just want to have Rich pitch in, or do you guys want to interview him?
Well, who wants to pitch in with us on our first story?
On the first story.
Right. Well, we can grill him as well if you'd like.
For the cloud. Grilled Rich doesn't sound like my cup of tea. Although paleo, very paleo. So
Originally today, Rich was going to take Paul's place on Windows Weekly.
Yeah.
Because Paul's going to be traveling?
I was going to be in Africa today, Leo.
What?
Yep.
For an event or for tourism?
Yeah, for a Microsoft event. And then at the last minute, Brad, who was going with me, my coworker, he got really, really sick.
Oh.
And he has like internal bleeding or something. And it's...
Golly.
I think it's like a reaction to the vaccination we needed to get.
Oh, it could be. Yeah, you guys have to get a lot of shots. Where was the event going to be?
In Nairobi.
Kenya.
Yep.
Yeah, I think you even if you're going to West or East Africa, I think you still have to get a goodly number of inoculations.
Oh yeah, no, I got four of them all in one quarter inch square spot of my arm.
And he did not react well. It sounds like
he's not as tough as I am, but I hope he's okay.
Brad, we wish you the best. So you don't. Are you shackled at the ankle? Is there a reason why you couldn't go?
No, I could have gone, but the point of us doing this was we were going to shoot a bunch of video and stuff. And there are going to be future events and possibly even in Africa, too. So We'll just do it again at some other time.
Oh, Nairobi is cool. I'm jealous. Mm-hmm. I would love to go. Well, and you know, by the way,
Rich was going to be the guy, except now, you know, here's Paul. So
it's kind of nice.
Come on. Paul, come on with us.
Now you're making me feel bad.
Sorry, your big debut is ruined.
Yeah.
Sorry. Gosh, I had a lower third made for you. Oh, no, I guess not. Never mind.
I will go away again, I promise.
No, it's fine. Okay. It's fine. Don't go away. Don't go away. We're happy to have you. all right. What was the Microsoft event there?
I think it's called, I've already forgotten the name. Next Africa, I think it's Does that sound right? Something like that.
You know, it's funny. I mean, Africa, a huge continent, many countries. Yeah. But you don't hear about a lot of tech conferences in Africa.
Next Tech. Africa. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was looking forward to it. I've been to Africa, but not this part of Africa. And here I am. I was packed. I was, you know, like literally waiting, counting down the minutes to go.
Oh, it was that close. Wow.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it was right at the edge.
Well, look at it this way. You could take the mosquito netting down in the house because you're safe. You're inoculated.
Actually, the best part is my wife informed me that she made plans basically every single night this week.
Oh,
so
yeah. You're going to be alone.
Sorry about that.
Yeah. 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 Oh, well.
Yep.
Oh, well.
Oh, well. Sorry about that. Windows 10 Cloud, item number one.
Yeah, and this is why we still wanted Everidge on today, right? Because this is kind of an interesting topic. There's a lot of rumor and speculation. Curious what someone else thinks about this. I think we all have ideas about what this thing might be.
There a leak? Was there an announcement?
It was a leak.
There was a leak. A couple of people were looking inside the code of some of the recent insider builds and SDK builds, and they saw references to something that said cloud and cloud N as additions of Windows 10, and we had never heard about those before. So then the game of hunting it down began, and we all started pinging our sources and saying, what is this? Is this actually like something like streaming from the cloud? Is it like a new subscription plan? What is it? So I'll tell you what my sources said. Mine said, this cloud edition has nothing to do with the cloud.
Great. Great.
It's a perfect name.
Perfect name.
Yeah. Like it's just a name they're using. And it's more like if you think about Windows RT, it's more kind of like that. But why they're calling it cloud?
I understand.
Okay. Why?
it's if you were going to do a lightweight Chromebook competitor, and Microsoft has announced such things for education, the cloud becomes very important because you don't have a lot of storage, right? That's the whole idea of the Chromebook. Many users can share a single Chromebook. You just log onto your Google account, and there's your stuff's all visible. It makes a lot of sense to me. It's a cloud book. In fact, didn't there used to be such a thing as a cloud book? Remember that? Who did that?
Those are pretty much netbooks.
Yeah.
Newer netbooks.
So it's the return of the cloud book, only this time with more
power. Well, we don't know. I mean, I
that seems reasonable, though, right?
It does. But I think of this as more aligned with the original vision for Windows RT, that Microsoft knows that Windows needs to be taken into the 21st century and modernized, and that in order to make that happen, they have to drop this legacy cruft that's been holding it back. The problem with Windows, of course, is the legacy cruft is the only thing keeping it moving forward. So Windows RT was not ready. It was too slow. The hardware was too slow. This thing, you know, benefits from years of improvements. I don't think it's tied to ARM, right? It doesn't seem to be. Which is smart.
I don't see why it would be.
It's not right. RT in that sense anyway.
Yeah.
I mean, that was the defining characteristic of RT. It was an ARM-based version of Windows.
But here's the thing. Once you look at something that isn't based on RT or on ARM, although could run on ARM too, once you realize that on ARM, we do have the ability now or will soon to run Win32 apps, I think the big difference here is that you'll be able to upgrade this thing. I think that's the big difference. Aside from just the normal, it's 4 or 5 years later and things are faster.
Win32 apps on ARM are just happening on high-end hardware, right? Starting with Snapdragon 835. So
yeah, unarmed. But if this thing is running on Intel as well, it could be on anything, right? And I do believe that this is not necessarily just a low end Chromebook kind of thing. I think it's bigger than that. Really? But anyway, I think the big deal is the problem with Windows RT, the problem with Surface RT in particular was it was a dead end, right? If you went down that route and discovered it didn't work for you, there was no way out of it. Mm. And I think that's one of the things that's changed since then. Win32 app compatibility is a possibility. So this is a way to do this again and not trap users in that one-way street.
I wonder if they're competing with Chromebooks. Chromebooks are updated all the time, and plus they're getting Android apps now. So Edge is updated twice a year, if we're lucky, with future updates.
Once a year.
They're going to position it against Chromebooks. That's something they need to think about.
Well, did they? Maybe I misunderstood, but I thought that the recent education, Windows for Education releases were very Chromebook-like, right?
Yeah, but see, that's the thing. I think these things are all kind of separate in a way, right? Not that anything that we just said about this is right or wrong or whatever. I mean, this could
be all speculation. Yeah.
Right. So in other words, Microsoft announced Windows on ARM, Windows 10 on ARM, at the end of last year. Microsoft in the past couple of weeks announced an education initiative, just like Google did with Chromebooks, because there was an education show in the UK. Microsoft now, we've seen leak. They haven't announced it, but there are these leaks about this thing called Windows 10 Cloud, and we naturally want to connect the pieces here, like these things are all related, but it doesn't mean they're not, but it also doesn't mean that they are, right? Because my knee-jerk reaction to Windows 10 Cloud, without even understanding what it is to think immediately of Windows 10 on ARM, and it's also to kind of think about Chromebooks, right? To see it as sort of a, you know, that kind of a thing. I mean, there is some controversy right now, right, about the way updates will be deferred going forward on all versions of Windows 10 except for Windows 10 Home, right? And so you could kind of make the argument that these lower end devices, which might run Cloud, might run Home, could be stuck in that infinite update loop, like Chromebook. It's not that it's stuck on Chromebook, it works on Chromebook. But that's part of the deal, right? They're always kept up to date. But we're kind of grasping, aren't we? Like we're trying to connect things together.
Yeah, Windows 10 for Education, that version is one of the ones that's going to be exempt from the always updating, right? Like you can defer updates on that.
Right.
So the question is, can you update, will you be able to defer updates on this Windows 10 Cloud or not?
I wouldn't think so. But it's called Windows 10 Cloud. It's going to be something that they update
always
often.
On, right?
Well, yeah, you don't even need to update. I mean, if you use I'm sure y'all use Chromebooks. You don't get a notice really unless you have to reboot.
I'm curious if it will run, because we've heard Windows on ARM is going to have x86 emulation, right? But will this particular version of Windows support that or not?
And related to that is, and I'm curious what both of you think about this. We talk about like UWP apps running on this thing, right? Basically, is that the idea? But is it UWP apps or is it store apps? And do store apps include Centennial apps?
I was wondering the same thing.
I mean, that's a very important distinction because I would argue that this can't be UWP only. It can't be because if you give someone a computer and you say you can go to the store and download some of the apps, that is not a solution, right? That's a huge problem. It has to run store apps across the board. Right. If that app is in the store, it has to work on this system. It has to.
UWP would leave you without Windows 8 apps, which anything that hasn't been updated for UWP is in a pretty terrible state. But you still need a Kindle app, whatever else is in there.
And you need Centennial apps. And I think that's the thing. And that makes it very interesting. And that tells me that Win32 is on this thing. It's just cut off somehow. That they've implemented something that I'm sure hackers will contravene that will prevent people from going to the web and downloading EXEs or installing them or whatever. I'm sure it's some little block, something like that. And that makes this, again, like I said, I think that's part of the rationale behind my statement earlier that I think this thing will be upgradable. So it's not a dead end. It's not a one-way street. And I think that's important. Because Windows RT, so many of those people, I think, felt betrayed after they got this thing. And they're like, this looks just like Windows, but it doesn't run Windows applications.
Yeah.
You can't do
people
that.
People would be confused. They would ask me, oh, this yeah. thing says it runs on Windows 7 and better, but it doesn't work on my Surface.
And so imagine, mm-hmm. so here it's like 5 years later or whatever, three or 4 years later. And they're going to do that again. You know, it's like that really sucked for people last time. Let's do it again. You know, that doesn't make sense, does it?
I know. Yeah. Although, you know, when my sources talked to me about what this is, they said, remember when Microsoft did that Windows 8.1 SKU with Bing? And so what that was 8.1 with Bing preset as a search engine that users could change after they bought the PC. But the idea was give OEM something that's free. The condition is Bing has to be set as the default search engine. And that's kind of the trade-off. It's like a marketing trade-off. And it's meant to be kind of something more geared toward giving OEMs what they need. And then they pass that on to the consumer without charging them for the operating system more than they would if it was a higher end, like a pro version.
So why is it called Windows 10 Cloud?
Right. Why is it literally called just Windows 10 Cloud?
What is the, I mean, why? Like, what would be the point of that name?
Well, it's better than Bing Edition.
It is. Yes. Yep.
Yeah.
The other reason I thought of is, and that's one of our items in our show notes today, is we're going to talk about earnings and how all Wall Street wants to hear about is cloud anymore. So it could just be a nod to we're cloud first, mobile first.
Right. That's it does reason. Sound like something that could compete with Chromebooks.
Right.
Yeah. Because they're all about internet connectivity.
Yeah.
They have to stop running those Pawn Stars commercials up there and do that.
Yeah, so other than that, I don't know why it's called cloud. I mean, Leo's first idea that it's because it'll make you store everything in the cloud makes sense if that is what this is, right? If it's all your files have to be stored in the cloud and everything has to be in the cloud.
Somebody said the HP Stream only had 32 gigs. I mean,
we've had devices that only had 16, I think. I mean, they were, you know, I actually, as part of, I have an HP Stream here. I spent 4 days just waiting for it to install updates. Over the long weekend there, the experience is so terrible. Let's do that again. You know, like it just seems weird to me.
But that's why you would
they would go to those bad things from the past.
But that's why you would call it Windows 10 Cloud. Yeah. You know, you'd make it a different kind of experience.
But every time they've tried only allowing people to install apps from the store, it just hasn't worked, right?
Mm-hmm. Right.
A low amount of storage means low-end hardware, and Win32 apps won't work on low-end ARM chips. So, or at least not in the beginning, right?
Right.
So I don't know. Maybe I just don't see the path here.
I don't think any of us are seeing the path here. Yeah. I think that's kind of the problem.
Pretty much
it's especially if you understand what they did in the past. It's hard to reconcile what we've heard about this with the past. Like, it just makes no sense. Mm.
Yeah. What if, let me throw this crazy idea. What if on ARM, you're going to be able to run x86 in emulation, but only if they're Centennial apps from the store?
That would make sense. Yep. That would make sense. But that x86 emulation it's going to start with the Snapdragon 835.
Yeah.
And then I assume that they'll work their way down to lower end chips over time, but that's going to be a while.
Is it too late to bring back the Android bridge? That really part of the problem is, technical issues aside, the Windows 10 store doesn't have all that much stuff that's, you know,
exactly. And I that's a topic I return to again and again. Rich just mentioned it too. I mean, it's kind of a wasteland. And over time, there's a handful of good games now. There's, you know, Adobe Photoshop Elements showed up. That's actually really cool. It's a great deal, you know, compared to buying it outright from Adobe. But yeah, I mean, there are things like Office, which exists in that world, but it's, you know, like the toy version of Office. There's a lot of work that needs to occur there. And this is the chicken egg issue, I think, with this thing too. If it really is store apps, and let's be inclusive and say all store apps, Centennial, whatever, we're still talking about a really small, number of apps, relatively speaking. I mean, Microsoft must have telemetry data showing what their users are using. I mean, I did someone, the light bulb go off and someone said, look, all those people are using StarApps. Let's make a, let's make another version of Windows that just runs StarApps. You know,
why do you think it has to just run StarApps? Yeah. What is the, cause there's just not enough one of the.
Trying to force people to use Edge. That's my guess.
Oh.
No, but why are we saying that it only runs StarApps, right? This must be one of the.
I mean, really, you could just say, you've already got Office in the cloud. You could just say it's designed like a Chromebook is to run that kind of software, not installed software.
Will it have a little plastic crank on the side so you can blow bubbles out the back?
You know, I tell people all the time to buy Chromebooks. They're cheap, they're reliable, they're secure. And what most people do with a computer is not what you and I do. But they just they surf the web and they get email and they do that on a web page. So. I think Microsoft could reasonably look at that and then look at that education market, which they're, I mean, let's face it, they're in crisis now. Chromebooks are beating Windows in education. They look at
the US. By the way, you're right. And I'm sure that is the telemetry they see. I mean, I'm sure they have an understanding of what it is people do use. But, you know, the one app that doesn't run on this thing is Chrome. Right? I mean, you could make a pretty good argument that if you get a Windows PC, it can do everything a Chromebook can do. Plus, you know, it's a PC, so it does all this other stuff.
Right.
I realize it doesn't have the simplicity and
that was the argument. But
there is an argument.
Yeah, that was the argument.
This one can't even run Chrome. So, like, what?
Right. That's the thing. You gotta make Edge be. You know, Edge can run. In theory, can't Edge run Firefox extensions? Which extensions can Edge?
No, it doesn't.
They have to all be custom made for
it. They originally promised that it would, though.
I thought that was
yes,
it.
Yes, they did.
And then was killed.
Yeah,
by,
Chrome.
It was Chrome. Okay. Yep. Well, so there's. I mean, really, that's what makes Chrome work on a Chromebook is all the Chrome extensions. If you could, that's what you need is access to those.
There are only a handful of Edge extensions right now.
Yeah, but maybe they've got a secret plan.
Yeah.
This is the Windows Phone app problem all over again, because there will be people who say, well, it has all the basics and those things work fine. And that's probably true. But everyone has that thing, you know. Mm-hmm. And for me, it's not like I use several Chrome extensions, and I would only argue that a handful of them are, you know, mission critical. But it is that combination of these capabilities that makes this browser so great.
You know, the part I'm the most curious about here actually is, and I saw Miriam Dwar said this today on Twitter. She said, so if this is the Chromebook competitor, it means Microsoft's figured out how to stop all the BS that keep people away from Windows because updating is too complex and spam and this and that. And I was like, you know what? What are they going to do differently to make it feel like the management part of this is better?
Yep.
And less complex, because that's what we really don't know, right? I mean, Microsoft announced this new Intune for Education version last week, but that's more like for IT administrators. We're talking about like normal people who don't want to have to deal with all the things that right now we have to deal with Windows Update, right? Yep. Can they make that less complex? Because that's what also is a big selling point for Chromebooks. And I don't know what Microsoft has up their sleeve there.
Well, hopefully it doesn't look just like look and work just like Windows 10, just like Windows RT.
Yeah, that would be bad.
Windows RT looked and worked like Windows 8, except you couldn't install certain apps, and that was one of many mistakes that they made with that.
Yep.
Who's the guy who runs Steam?
Gabe Tim Sweeney. Gabe Newell. Oh.
He was like railing about this today somewhere.
Gabe.
I saw.
No, I think that was Eric. I think it was Eric Sweeney.
Okay.
Oh, they're both. They're like a tag team.
They're kind of rant tag team.
Sweeney called it Windows 10 Crush Steam Edition.
Sure. Right.
What?
Yeah, because the thing that won't run any games is the thing that's going to kill the games.
No gamer buys. No, come on. You don't buy a Chromebook to play games either.
He's been talking about this since. Last July, something like that.
Sorry,
he can't give up on this.
He's like the dog at the end of the street that won't stop barking.
Well, he laid out a 5-year plan last time about how Microsoft was going to gradually kill Steam. So obviously, this is part of that plan.
Schools don't want a computer that can play Steam. one of the reasons they use Chromebooks is you can't run Minecraft on it, you know? All right. Well, anyway, fun speculating with you kids.
Yeah. What else can we tell you what we don't know about?
What? Know, just out of really curiosity, this is all based on what? One line in a.
Well, no. Yeah. Actually, do we know what's the list of things we know about this? Like, what do we actually know? Like, why are we saying all this stuff?
We know that inside of some of the recent insider builds, there is a list of the different versions of Windows 10, and it's listed as cloud, and there's also a cloud N. So, you know, the N version is the one without media player. Sorry?
Wasn't there a cloud retail also? Cloud OEM, cloud retail? Yeah.
Okay, was there? Yep. So
it is literally a product edition then, right? It's just like Windows 10 Pro, just like Windows 10
Home. Yep, education, right.
Yep.
Okay. Yep. And that's all we know for sure at this point.
Yeah. The hell are we talking about? Okay.
Well, sources are blathering, so we'll find out. I mean, I bet we're going to find out pretty soon, because if this is mentioned in Creators Update, I would think they're going to have to tell us by the time Creators Update comes out.
Right? You think they'll release it around that time?
Hmm. I would think you would. Otherwise, why would these be listed in there?
And I do like the name Windows 10 Crush Steam Edition. I really like that.
Yeah, I do too.
I think they should go with that.
I think it's like a Siri type thing. You should be able to name it, you know, like whatever you want.
Yes, boss. That's what Siri calls me, boss. Lisa made Siri call her goddess of the universe, which I thought was...
Wow.
Yeah.
Even Siri was slightly taken aback by that one.
My goodness. Oh. Well. Now that we spent 15 minutes obsessing on something that is just
that's
a
what
line.
We do, Leo.
Yes, I know. I know. You know, when you get to these fallow periods in the news cycle, pretty much grasp at any straw comes your way.
Sure.
Much.
No, we got other
stuff. So we were going to have Rich leave after this, but if you're willing and have the time, maybe you should stick around for the...
You could stay as long as you want. In fact, yeah, I mean, Rich, I'd be glad to get rid of these other guys and just have...
Yeah, I know.
Sure.
You want to stick around? All right, good.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, good.
We'll take a break. As you may have been informed, we do very, very long commercials on this show. And this is enough time for you to go downtown, get a Starbucks coffee, and come back. No, just... Don't do that, please. Our show today brought to you by Rocket Mortgage. This is a fast ad for a fast product, the fastest way to get loan approval. It comes to you from the best mortgage lender in the country, Quicken Loans. Just take a look at the website, quickenloans.com/windows, and you'll see all those J.D. Power customer satisfaction awards year after year after year. And I love it because Quicken Loans decided we want to do a product for you. For the geeks. And they came here in Windows Weekly because they know, well, if you're listening to Windows Weekly, you're the perfect person for this product. They call it Rocket Mortgage because it's fast. It's 21st century. It's a completely online process and friction-free, transparent. Any more adjectives I can throw at it? Here's the deal. You could be at an open house and you could say, you know, we weren't thinking of buying a house, but I like this house. Do you think we can get a loan? And you can go to quickenloans.com/windows, answer a few simple questions. You get some sliders. You can slide the term of the loan and the rate and all that, customize it so it's just so, and get approved almost instantly, within minutes. You can submit any, you know, you might say, as I did, well, what, you know, don't you need, like, you know, pay stubs or something or bank statements? Yeah. But you submit those online too. I mean, the whole thing is boom, 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 easy peasy. And you can actually say to the realtor, look, I'm approved. That makes a big difference when you're buying. If you're refiing, and now's a good time to refi as interest rates start to ratchet up, they're supposed to, according to the Fed, this would be a great time to go to quickenloans.com/windows. When it comes to the big decision, choosing a mortgage lender, somebody you're going to have a 30-year relationship with, it's important to work with someone you can trust who has your best interest in mind. That's Quicken Loans. Quickenloans.com/windows, equal housing lender, licensed in all 50 states, NMLSconsumerAccess.org, number 3030. Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Check them out, quickenloans.com/windows. We're talking about Windows, as we do every week, with Paul Thurrott, Mary Jo Foley, and joining us today from Neowin, Rich Woods. What's your title, Rich? You're the editor-in-chief, the boss, the big guy?
Senior editor for North America.
Senior editor for North America makes it sound like quite an international operation.
Well, it is.
He's over in Europe. Was Neowen started in England? Or is it American? No.
No, it's an American company.
Okay.
Yeah.
Moving on to quarterly results. We had Apple's amazing quarterly results yesterday.
Oh, they still around?
Yeah. Yeah, I heard that they're still in business. The iPad's not doing all that well.
Do they still sell the iPhone?
That iPhone, 78.5 million units last quarter, and it kind of shocked me because I was, along with a lot of people, really disheartened that the new iPhone 7 didn't have a headphone jack. But
you know,
that didn't slow
that
down
the
sales.
iPad has seen sales fall quarter year over year for three straight years now. Yeah, I think it's time for Tim Cook to put up a little apology to Mr. Thurrott, as he made fun of me because
I said
it wasn't the next big thing.
No, I think you're wrong, Paul. It is the next big thing. It's just that everybody who wanted one has one.
Okay, so here's what I think.
What do you think, Paul?
The next big thing is actually the services that run on top of iPhone, because iPhone is their only business.
And you're exactly right. $24 billion revenue in services. It was their second biggest earner. The watch, they said, had the best quarter ever. However, they didn't say how many it sold. So.
Leo, that's using Surface math.
Yes, it is.
You know, compared to last quarter, we went gangbusters. Ooh, so how'd you do last quarter? Yeah, we're not talking.
No. But iPad sales down. Mac sales kind of even. Actually, as PC sales start to kind of a little bit recover, Apple's now dropped, I think, they're the number five PC manufacturer, if you include Windows machines. Nevertheless, I know we do. Because why not? Dell's, what is it? HP, Dell.
Well, I think it's actually Lenovo.
Lenovo, HP, Dell.
Acer/Asus.
Asus went up, beat Apple for the first time, I guess. Something like that.
Huh.
But they made a lot of money. They made a lot of money. I always looked at the tax rate, because my tax rate's like almost 50%. Apple's tax rate 26%.
Sure.
Yeah. I always wonder how they did that, and if I could.
Most interesting number in some ways with these companies is the amount of cash or cash-like assets they have on hand.
Yeah.
Versus the amount they have in the United States.
Right.
It's always like 95% of it is always somewhere else.
And that, there's a close correlation between that and their tax rate, I might add.
Yeah.
They did. They bought back $200 billion in stock now. They're continuing that buyback.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, that's Apple. This is not the Apple podcast. But I just say that so you can compare that with Microsoft's quarterly earnings.
Well, there are numbers in both.
They had a good quarter. They had a very good quarter,
right?
$24.1 billion. Earnings per share beat, 83 cents. The surprise to me in Microsoft's second quarter was that Windows, more personal computing segment did better than people were expecting.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was weird.
It beat the market, in other words. Business and consumer and OEM versus PC maker, they all rose about 5%, roughly, which is not what you see in the PC market at all.
Mm-hmm. Now, the things that didn't do so well, phone, 81% down.
To be fair, that was according to plan.
It was.
We'll go down more next quarter again.
Yep, it will. So there's, they're trying to get out of the phone business. Yeah, they're trying to get to zero, pretty much.
It gets to below zero, and then they start making money.
Yeah. Surface was down a couple points.
I consider that to be a success story because the products that are their primary products today were launched 15 months ago. This is the first time ever that a year has gone by and they haven't had something to replace their core products. So they're selling these things that are essentially previous gen.
Mm-hmm.
And it only fell, what you said, 2%, right?
Yeah, 2%.
That's incredible. I mean, that's actually really good.
Yeah. Xbox console sales down, prices of those down. Right. But digital transactions up to $1 billion for the quarter in that space. So that's good.
That's their version of Apple services story, right? You've got this dedicated audience and now they're buying stuff digitally instead of going to the store and buying discs. I'm surprised by Xbox. They pushed that thing so hard. November, December.
Tough market for that.
Yep.
But you know where Wall Street is watching the closest is what they're doing with the Office division, Bing, the thing that they call commercial cloud, which is now a $14 billion annual run rate, on its way to the promised $18 billion, or is it $20 billion by next year. So they say they're growing according to plan there. So that's like Office 365, Azure, Dynamics 365, Power BI, all those cloud services that are for businesses. And that's
Sorry, Mary Jo, is it Office 365 or Office 365?
Right. That came up in the earnings call, didn't it?
Did it really?
That's how Satya Nadella says it. Well, and yeah. I based on my
365?
Feedback. I'm getting is that that's how British people say it, and I get it, but I don't think anyone refers to the Xbox 360 or the release known as Office 2016. So,
Paul, get with the program.
All right.
I mean, those are the numbers Wall Street cares about. It's funny, they just like when you listen to the earnings calls. They almost never ask Microsoft about Windows. It's all about, what about Azure? What about Office 365? Cloud. What about cloud? What about, you know, this? And how are you comparing to AWS? Which they don't actually say, but that's all they care about. Like when you talk to somebody from Wall Street.
It kind of chugs along, doesn't it? I mean, it's kind of interesting.
Yep. That personal computing segment is still the biggest part of Microsoft's business revenue-wise. It still is.
Yeah.
But
well, it's
because
they dump
not
so
the
much
biggest,
stuff in it.
Yeah. Like, and it's not the biggest the profitability. Grounds, right. Right. Yeah. Everything is in there. I know. Yep.
There were some weird little tidbits, too. I think these were from the conference call, if I remember correctly. But 65 million Android and iOS active users for Office Mobile, right? Which is kind of impressive. Mm-hmm. And then this is kind of a weird one. Satya Nadella said that users have asked Cortana over 18 billion questions to date. How? Or why? I mean, like, what does that even mean? You know?
It has to count when you type things, right? It can't just be.
The number one question is, how do I turn this stupid thing off?
Yeah, did they mention how many answers were issued? Yeah, I mean, that would be more relevant.
Yeah.
18 billion questions. Really, seriously, marketing-wise, better to say 18 billion answers. I'm just saying.
Microsoft's earnings are this cloud of facts, and they just kind of pull a few of them off, and they don't really seem to string together.
Seeing if anybody reads it.
Yeah.
Sure, it includes anybody that set it off by accident, you know?
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Yeah. What the hell is that thing asking me? You know, it's like, why is it talking to me?
Yeah, so they had a good quarter.
Well, the big thing, is the cloud, intelligent cloud. I think it was Azure was almost doubled year over year.
But we don't know what that number is, by the way.
What that number is. That's what, absolutely.
It's doubled. We don't know from what. We have no idea.
Yeah. Yep. There's all this stuff at Microsoft that just kind of chugs along. Like even the server products, like on-prem servers.
I know.
Like it's just 2017, people are like, I'm going to go down to Fry's Electronics and buy an exchange license for $17,000 or something.
You know, that is so funny because they don't want to talk about that part of the business very much because, again, they're trying to get everybody focused on what they're doing going forward in future and cloud. Right. But I get to talk to them a little bit about the on-prem stuff, and they're like, yeah, like Windows Server 2016 killed it. But that's they amazing. Didn't really talk about that a lot in earnings. But that gave them some really good growth for the quarter because that's when that product was launched.
Yeah, it's so those kind of, right.
Yeah.
That's very strange.
Yep.
Is Xbox Live grew 15%.
Yep.
I have to wonder about that. 15% to 55 million. I mean, they released the Solitaire Collection for iOS and Android.
I want to like the material connection there.
It's from these mobile games, you know.
That's amazing. That could be.
It could be. I mean, they're not talking about Xbox Live Gold, 55 million.
No, no, they're not. Right.
Yep.
All right. That's it, huh?
Well, there's one more thing I wanted to discuss with this. Something Mary Jo and I discussed privately and I wrote about, because this is something like not quite every quarter, but at least twice a year, I kind of come back to this. Microsoft will or will not release figures for Office 365 subscribers. I think of Office 365 as like the poster child for this transformation that Microsoft keeps talking about that they're making, because it was a product that was on-prem and, you know, distributed in a very traditional way. And now it's this online service that people subscribe to and businesses subscribe to. And so the size of that user base indicates in some ways how healthy that thing is, how quickly the transformation is happening. And I always feel like the numbers are really small, relatively speaking, right? Because Microsoft used to talk about Office being a 1.2 billion user base product. Like, that's how many active users there were in the world at one time. I don't know if that's true anymore. I'm going to do this off the top of my head because I don't have the exact numbers, and they don't actually release the exact numbers every quarter, but I believe the numbers from this past quarter were 85 or 86 million on the commercial side, meaning for businesses, and 25 million for consumers. So roughly, what is it, 110 million, or less than 10% of the one-time size of the entire Office user base have moved to Office 365. And I guess the question there is that good? Mm. You know? And the one little asterisk I'd put next to it that kind of suggests that it's not maybe as terrible as I would think at first blush is these subscribers represent ongoing revenues, right? They're not a one-time purchase.
Right.
The problem with Windows 10 is that those guys are a revenue suck, because if they ever need support, it's all over. When you basically promise to support and update this thing forever, which I realize isn't a literal promise, but basically, you know, your chances to monetize that user on Windows 10 are very small, which is why they're doing so many screwy things with Windows 10. You know, Office 365, you're getting 69 or 99 or 125 or whatever it is, depending on what kind of account they have, that much money from each user every single year. So it is a different kind of a product. But it still seems kind of small, doesn't it? Mm. Given the massive business user base they have out there.
Yeah. They get asked a little bit about this on the conference call, and they talked about how they're trying to grow this. And they said, one way we're trying to grow this number is by continuing to add new applications to Office 365. And they cited that new Staff Hub application that they just added recently. And they're trying to grow the more feature complete and more expensive versions of Office 365. So they got asked about E3 and E5, and they said right now E3 is doing great. E5 still early days. Those are the really expensive versions of Office 365. So I think that they're not so focused on seats as they are on price in growing this part of the business right now. I'd like to see the price comparisons. Like, you know, how much are they making off of Office through the subscription plans, Office 365, versus how they used to sell it in the olden times, you know? That would be an interesting number.
Yeah. I think it's a tough sell for individuals, because most people are probably used to just getting it for free on a computer. I know it's not technically free, but...
Yeah. Most individuals are just using maybe Word, Excel, PowerPoint, and... The home and student edition of Office only costs about $120.
Right, right.
Yeah.
Which is a little more than a year of Office 365.
Right. It was funny. Paul said, it doesn't everyone who's home buy Office 365 if they buy it for OneDrive? I'm like, no, I buy it for Outlook. He's like, you're weird. Okay.
Yeah, it's like, God, I would pay extra not to have Outlook. But Office 365 is tough. It's a little bit like VR in the sense that you need to really kind of explain to someone and show them why this thing is valuable. And I think if you can have that conversation, they might come around to it. But I think most people just, you know, they get the little freebie for a year maybe, and that maybe they use it, maybe they don't. And then it comes time to renew and they're like, wait a minute, you want me to pay for this thing? You know, I that must happen. I mean, they'll never say this. I mean, they'll never tell us, right, what the retention rate is. But we know there are, 250 to 300 million PCs sold a year over the past several years. And a bunch of them came with that little freebie. And there's only 25 million consumers that are using this thing.
Right.
It's crazy.
Well, that's a good point, huh? Now, yeah. When that puts it in perspective, yeah. Mm-hmm.
I still find them. I go to box up an old PC and all over the little certificate is sitting. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. That's a very good point.
Mm-hmm. It's a gray area. It does put that number in, answer.
You know, a little, it makes it sound a little worse.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I don't know. I really don't know what to think about it. Yeah. I guess what I keep thinking is it should be bigger. Yeah. The number. By the way, that Windows 10 build is indeed.
Yep.
It's out as we speak.
15025. Go get it, everyone.
Oh my God.
Well, actually, not everyone. There's a little warning I just saw on the post. If you have a 32-bit version of Windows 10, you aren't going to be able to use this.
Oh.
But if you have 64-bit, you're okay.
That was an issue with the last builds when there was installation problems. Yeah. 32-bit versions. Yeah.
Actually, looking at the notes, I will say the big thing that has occurred with this build is that there are no big things. Like for the past, that was three or four builds, at least three builds. They've been massive with lots and lots of changes.
A lot, mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, this one is not like that. So maybe this thing is winding down finally.
It should be.
It's about time.
Right?
Yeah, it seems like we should be getting to that point.
Yeah.
I think we'll get an RTM like next month maybe, right? March?
Yes.
For an April release?
We're not allowed to say it, but RTM.
Well, we don't use the term word. RTM.
Right.
Yes. Yeah. Obviously, yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
Braille support in Narrator is in this build, though. And you know what? We have a lot of people who've asked about Braille. I have, anyway, in my reader base. So this is interesting. Yep. This made it in. But otherwise, yeah. Fixes. Lots of fixes. Oh,
yeah. Yep. Yeah, that's where we should be.
Yeah.
Feedback hub. Mm-hmm. Nightlight improvements!
Thing formerly called blue light, right? Night light now?
Right.
Yep.
Because it's not blue light. It's the opposite of blue light. It's turn off the blue light.
Right.
They called it blue light?
Now it's called night light.
Originally, yeah.
I think Kmart went after them, saying you can't call it.
By the way, Donna's tweet about this build, the URL, they built the URL shortener.
Yeah.
aka.ms/ get well Brad.
Nice. You're kidding.
Yeah.
No.
That's good.
That's good. A car. That's sweet.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, it does sound serious.
It could be. Yeah.
Oh, dear.
Everyone wish him the best.
Oh, I just, this is interesting. Here, this just in. I just opened Chrome on Windows 10, and I'm getting a pop-up that says Microsoft Edge is safer than Chrome. It blocks 13% more socially engineered malware.
You're not still using Chrome, Leo, are you?
Look at this.
So the benefit of Windows 10 Cloud is that you don't see those advertisements.
Yeah. We got rid of those ads. Nice. Look at that.
Ad-free if you go cloud.
Oh, and if you click it, look what happens. Edge just launches. Isn't that sweet?
Sure. We'll just make it the default. Is that okay? It is good. Okay, thank you.
Thank you. Bye. God, I don't even know if that stat makes any sense at all. It says Microsoft Edge blocks 99% socially engineered malware compared to 86% for Chrome and 78% for Firefox.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, well, I'll just have to take their word for it. I don't know where that number comes from, but okay.
Yeah.
Edge is actually fine. It's just, you know, I'm out of the habit of using it.
Edge can actually be used to browse the web. I'm not saying it can't.
It can browse the web now. It's good news. It's good news. Do you want to say anything more about the new build? Anything at all?
No.
No, I think that's pretty
much
it.
To say.
Yeah. No, that's good.
At this point, that's good.
That's what you want. I see a note here saying Microsoft provides more details about Edge improvements in the Creators Update. Is that?
Yep, and you literally just said everything that we need to say about that.
Okay.
Because
it is getting better.
We
in
knew
the
about
update.
These, right?
I think we mentioned these last week, right?
I went through this whole thing expecting to find out maybe one little tidbit, and literally... This is all, it's all just previously understood information.
Okay.
Right.
Right.
All right.
Yeah, because
but I'd already
last
written
week
most
they,
by the time I figured it out, and I was like, okay, screw it.
I already wrote that. I'm not going to use the eraser.
Yep. Yeah. Last week they did have a new test build 15019, and this post they did right. about Edge repeated some of those features that were enabled in that build.
Okay.
Yep. Yeah, the new privacy settings are in that build, right? That's the one you're having trouble with, right, Paul?
Yeah. Yep. Well, it's day to day, it's fine. It's just when I use Skype.
Does it, doctor to patient, does it hurt?
Yeah,
only exactly. when I use Skype. But stop using Skype.
Mm-hmm. You guys, though, should Paul and Rich should talk about the gaming stuff that was new in 15019.
Because
there was a ton of it.
Don't rush him. We'll get to that.
Yeah, there was quite a bit. Yeah.
Take a break. Relax. Enjoy. Take a load off. We use Amazon Web Services. It gives us all sorts of load balancing advantages. For companies to succeed in this modern age, you need a lot of tools. And I remember not so very long ago that you had to roll it yourself, right? If you wanted to do a startup, it was a lot of work to create a startup. Remember Kevin Rose when he started Dig, how excited he was. They bought a new server and he had to go down to the colo to install the server and provision it and get it up and running. And he was like, oh, this is so exciting. It's in the cage. Now you just flip a switch and let Amazon Web Services do all the heavy lifting. It's awesome. It provides, of course, a robust and scalable platform for builders of every stripe so you can innovate quickly. It has twice the compliance certifications, the largest global footprint of any other cloud vendor. They do the heavy lifting, so builders like you can focus on what they do best. Amazon Web Services, AWS, provides the most comprehensive set of features for builders, releasing new features at a faster rate than anyone else. 1,000 new features last year alone. Services support virtually any cloud workload, including, yes, Windows. More than 70 services ranging from compute to storage to networking, database, analytics, application services, deployment management, and mobile. By listening to builders' needs and wants, AWS has been adding more capabilities than anyone else. AWS storage solutions designed to deliver secure, scalable, and durable storage for business and businesses looking to achieve efficiency and scalability within their backup and recovery environments without the need for an on-prem infrastructure. Widest global reach of any cloud provider and allows you to choose which region your data resides to minimize latency and costs, as well as to address regulatory requirements. We got to be aware of that now, right? Some countries require their data be stored in that country. AWS can handle that. You have complete control of your data. With AWS, startups scale like enterprises, and enterprises can be nimble as startups. Whether you're new to AWS or you have experience with AWS, they want to give you the right resources to support their success and help you do amazing things. And that's why they've created the AWS podcast. You can find out more at podcast.aws, podcast.aws. It's the new AWS podcast, which is really a cool idea. And it works on Edge, right? Yes. Just checking. Podcast.aws. We thank Amazon Web Services, not only for their support with the ad, but also, frankly, for keeping us up and running all the time. All right. Moving right along. You want to do Surface before we do the fun stuff? You got to do, you got to eat your meat before you have your pudding.
So actually, Surface is super quick because it doesn't really require much discussion.
I'm surprised, Brad, you're using a Surface Pro 3. You just like the old stuff?
Yeah, you know, I bought a new desktop computer that I was using, and I made the mistake of buying brand new PC right before CES.
Oh, dear.
So I returned it. Now I'm just kind of using this.
I get it. So you're just waiting until a new one comes.
Right.
What'd you get?
I have it pre-ordered. Alienware Aurora.
Yeah, nice.
The GTX 1080.
You know, we were talking about this yesterday on Mac Break Weekly, that a lot of Mac Pro users, editors, photographers and stuff, are buying, because they can't get the Mac hardware they want now, they're buying gaming machines from the PC side, like the Razer or the Alienware. because they've got the high end. You know, you get a laptop with a GTX 1080 in it, things like that. So, yeah. But I'm sure more of a gamer. That's why you're getting it, right?
Yeah, I do enjoy shooting things on the weekends.
Well, you're in good company because Mary Jo, you ought to see her.
Just
Call
on
of
the
Duty.
Weekends?
You guys should see me. Yeah, you
should. She's a killer. Stone cold killer. You know what Mary Jo likes to do? She likes to camp with a rocket launcher and just...
Yeah. Yeah. She's a noob tubing camper.
She's a noob tuber. Yep. Yep.
Oh, man.
I know. All right, so nothing to say about Surface. The new Surface Pro, one of the new Surface Pro configurations is discounted right now, right?
Yeah, so just quickly, I don't remember which one it is, but the Core i5, probably 4 gig, 128 version is 20% off. It's about $200 off
right now. Why is that, I wonder?
I think they're just getting rid of inventory, honestly. I think this is in preparation for the coming refresh, and they're looking at what they have and you know, they've had these weird little sales for a little while now. So,
a little light on RAM, right? Can you upgrade? Can you still get the discount?
No, if you upgrade it, you lose the sale price, which is crazy, right? So it's a pre-built. In other words, they have these things built ready to ship.
So in a way, they're acknowledging we're not selling a lot of these 4 gig RAM guys.
Well, or we have what you know, we have them. I think that what they're saying is we have these things in stock, right, and we need to get rid of them. You know?
So if I jump up.
If you try to configure it, you won't see the $200 price.
Yeah, it goes away right away.
You can also do that thing where it says, I don't know what it says,
configure,
but it says
add to cart and then modify.
If you do that, you don't get the don't get it.
Yeah. All right. What else?
The other one was that Rich's Surface Pro 3 just got a firmware update.
Right before the show.
Yeah. Yeah. Nice. Right in the dying minutes of January.
Yeah.
Those what some Miracast fixes.
Actually, that's good because it means they're still supporting that thing fully, right?
Sure.
Yeah. Sure. That's it.
There's not really much more to say. Yeah. All right. Let's get to the meat. Mary Jo, if you want to take a break, you can snooze off because here comes Xbox.
All right. So what Mary Jo was alluding to, some game and gaming-related improvements in the Creators Update, right? Rich, did you want to discuss that stuff? Or
sure.
It's not in the notes. Well, I apologize.
This is the thing we've been talking about, the gamers, game, whatever it's game mode. Is that what you're talking about?
There's game mode. Mm-hmm. There's the built-in Beam streaming, which still isn't available on the Xbox previews yet.
Right.
It's a new gaming section in settings.
Have you played with this at all? I mean, I've turned it on. I don't know that I've noticed anything.
Even though apparently it's on by default when you boot it up the first time, even though it's says it's off.
Yeah.
Yeah, I haven't really played with it too much.
Yeah, I'm not sure. It's almost feels like a fake. I checked a box, and so it feels like it's faster now, you know.
Right. It seems faster. Yeah. So I don't know. We'll see that more when we get closer to the Creators Update, I guess. But
Sorry.
Mary Jo, I apologize because I can't turn this your face off in this triple box. So
can you just like freeze the shot so it's just
normally what I do is like I take Mary Jo off screen so you can nap. Like, but
no, I'm listening.
Mary Jo has
perfected the
art of sleeping with her eyes open.
Yeah.
I'd like to interject here something because you guys always joke about me not caring about gaming, but I'll tell you what, I don't care about gaming. That's true. But I found this presentation today, in fact, about things that Microsoft's telling its PC makers to focus on with developing new devices for calendar 2017 and especially holiday 2017. And so a big theme is mixed reality. Another big theme is gaming and media. People who are media fanatics are telling PC makers to build specialized devices for these people. So I can't totally ignore gaming. I understand that. Like, this is a mission for Microsoft. They're telling partners to go build these kinds of devices. So
being the guy from the PC maker in the meeting with Microsoft where they roll out this presentation and say, here's what you should be building. You know, like, I don't know about you guys, but my response to this would have been like, Thanks. Yeah, we don't know anything about our market. This is great information, though. You guys are the best. I mean,
you know what?
It seems kind of condescending in a way.
I think, you know, at WinHack, they're saying to them, okay, you guys have your ideas about what you want to build, and great, go build it. But if you want us to tell you where we think there's money and where we're going to give you marketing dollars, we're going to tell you where we're going to give you marketing dollars, right? Gaming PCs, they said it. It's like, if you are building a gaming PC, we're going to help you sell the heck out of it this year. I have to listen to gaming.
That's for sure.
Yeah,
I have to listen because of these kind of things. So I'm not totally tuned out on Xbox.
I think your next PC is going to be a gaming PC.
Do you? Huh.
Mm-hmm. No, but you never know. Mm-hmm. It could heat your apartment.
I was more excited. They also told them to go build things like Ultra Slims, which I'm way more interested in, like that HP that I use all the time. I love that device. So I'm glad they're telling them to go build more of those too, not just gaming PCs.
Yep.
Right. So that's why I'm listening, even though I look like I might not be listening.
See, she does pay attention.
I do.
I on that note, I will just let you know that when you talk about things like data lakes, I am literally not paying attention.
You should, my friend.
He wakes up in the middle of the night. Don't believe him. He wakes up in the middle of the night in a cold sweat shouting
Hadoop. These are like the Manchurian Candidate code words, you know, that they snap me off in this case.
Triggers him all of a sudden. Hadoop. What would be your Manchurian Candidate code word?
It would be Linux on Windows.
Ugh.
Bash shell.
Skype. Just Skype. It's the Skype sound. That sound that Skype makes. The knife comes out.
Anything else to say? I mean, that was pretty brief. I think we could do more on gaming.
So actually, I'm curious what you think about this, because this is something you would have paid attention to, Mary Jo. Xbox has had a preview program since, I think, when the Xbox One first came out. It goes back a few years at least. It's been like an invite-only kind of deal. And there was a short period of time where I think members could invite other people, and then those expired, and that was the end of that. When that group was brought into Terry's org, and then last year they started talking about they're going to invite everyone in, and
they're going to have the Xbox preview program and the Insider program. Yeah,
but they're not, unless I'm missing something, and please tell me I'm wrong about this. They're not really doing the same thing they do on Windows, right? Like on Windows, you can sign up, you can pick what you're going to be in, and then you're there.
Right.
And on Xbox, it's like this. It feels like a country club where no one's invited. You know. Right? Am I right?
Rings. Yeah, pretty much. I mean, the preview ring 4, which is the bottom one, is pretty much like release preview on the Windows Insider program. So if you want to test out the creator's update, you have to be invited.
Yeah. Oh, great. Great.
And you can also be uninvited.
You can be uninvited. Even better.
Yeah. If you're not active as an Xbox Insider, they can tell you that you can't be part of this ring anymore.
What does it take to be an active Xbox Insider?
Quests, surveys, polls.
Are you one?
Yeah.
So I'm supposed to be in it, but I don't see updates.
He's like the leader.
Right.
So can't you invite Paul?
I'm
I don't think you can invite
it.
People for this.
Oh.
Yeah.
And they also just released that preview for the beta ring as well.
Right. Right. So have you seen this month or this week even like new stuff? Yourself?
This week? No.
No.
I mean, okay. I got the creator's update preview last week.
Okay. Because I've gotten nothing since December.
Oh, okay.
So I'm actually on what I think is a fifth ring, and it's like Dante's Inferno or something. I don't know.
They should call it that. That would be good.
They just go back in time. I'm running the original version.
Yeah, it just seems really strange how they're doing it, though. I mean, I don't see any reason that this has to be invitation only, and I never did when it was the preview program.
Nope. If anything, it should be more inclusive. I mean, these people tend to be more enthusiastic, A.
Right.
Xbox One is one, possibly two, if you want to include the two models, hardware platforms. It's not a million different computers.
Right.
The stuff that can screw up is very minor. As I argued when I wrote about this, I mean – just the fact that I turn the thing on every day, play games, and nothing goes wrong, is valuable telemetry data for them. That should be enough, you know, if I don't want to test it or whatever. But I would be happy to look at the new stuff. I just don't have that opportunity. I find it to be very, it's like exclusive, you know, like it's kind of the opposite of what a community is and what the Windows Insider program is.
It's also weird. They had a workaround last time for the anniversary update. You could sign up for dev mode and you'd be able to get it without getting into the preview program. But that doesn't work this time. So
Right.
Either alpha or beta or nothing.
All right. Well, I'm nothing. That's what I've discovered. I am nothing.
Mm.
Did they send you a message telling you what ring you're in?
No. You're in the seventh ring of hell, my friend.
That's what I mean. I'm in the fifth ring. I don't know.
Do they tell you? Is there a little dot?
Well, yeah, people have gotten messages where it says, congratulations, you've been welcomed into the whatever, you know.
Yeah. I just got the update, and I guess I'm in alpha ring.
Sure. Yeah. All right, you're never coming back on the show.
No alpha rings. He's also a little taller than you, Paul. I just want to
No, I've asked them repeat, and they're like, oh, we're going to look into this. Sorry about that, you know.
I think they should give me an Alpha Ring invite so I can say to you, I got it.
I don't even have an Xbox, but I'm Insider.
That's going to be the last day Fall Games is I get sniped from some corner in Call of Duty and I look up and the name says Mary Jo Foley.
All right, everybody go for that gamer tag.
Program.
Yep.
I'm not in the Insider program. No, I am not.
She doesn't have an Xbox. I'm sorry, Rich.
I said uninsider program.
Uninsider. She's in the uninsider. Yeah.
Uninsider. Oh,
anything but inside. Yeah.
I like that.
Yeah. That's apparently what I need to be in because my computer will not work now.
Should.
All right. We've stretched this as long as I possibly can.
We're going to do data lakes now.
This is worse.
No, we're going to do robotics.
This is worse than taffy on the Atlantic City saltwater taffy puller. Hey, did you see the new robotics device from Boston Robotics? Ooh. Speaking of robotics.
Well,
let me see if I can find it for you because this thing is awesome.
Was Boston Robotics? I thought, weren't they
Boston Dynamics? Boston Dynamics.
Oh, yeah.
Oh,
okay. Yeah, that's the one Google bought, but didn't buy or something. I don't know. It's kind of confusing. They call it a handle because it can handle things.
Nice.
Yeah. this actually.
Like conflict resolution
things? It's a leaked video because, I don't think they want us to see it, to be honest with you, because it's on wheels and it's really fast.
Mm.
Be nice to the robots, Mary Jo. I'm just saying. Soon they'll be faster than you are. Yikes. What do you got for us?
So, Microsoft is doing stuff in robotics too, but they won't talk about it, which is very interesting. They will talk about things like, you know, we've talked about bot frameworks, chat bots, and things they're doing in that space. But I don't know if you guys remember this. When Bill Gates was still at day-to-day at Microsoft, they were really big into robotics and they were investing heavily into robotics. They had a product called the Microsoft Robotics Studio, and they were doing all kinds of things about robots. When Gates left and the people who worked for him in Microsoft Research left, they just kind of stopped doing robotics stuff. But now they're going to come back and do it again. And I started looking into this. I started kind of looking in job posts and, you know, sneaking around like I usually do. And I found a few different references to things they're doing in robotics, and they're not kind of those kind of robots. They're more like how Microsoft's going to use their technologies to work with industrial robots. You know, so the things that are like robots in factories, things building cars.
Yeah, the things that are bolted to the factory floor,
exactly.
And not coming after you like this.
Right.
Yeah.
Exactly.
I prefer those things.
Yeah.
Oh, boy.
So they're working on applications that are in the robotics space. They've got part of their AI and research group is working very heavily in this space, and they're actually already writing apps to work with these kinds of robots. They're also doing a lot with drones, and you don't hear about Microsoft and drones that much, but they've got a team inside of Microsoft Research called the Aerial Informatics and Robotics Group, and they've been building what they're calling a fleet of flying robots. And some of these are, you know, micro UAVs, aka drones. And they're also working on technology to help commercial jetliners in this space, too. So they're kind of going the whole gamut in this robotic space. I don't know what they're waiting for to start talking about this. Probably giving it to some other publication to do a big story. But they've got a lot of little skunk works and big skunk works projects in robotics. So stay tuned. I think we're going to hear more. Maybe Build. Maybe some other event.
I guess that's now we know why they fired Brian Roper. He can just... They just have a robot with a hat.
Fedora robot.
Fedora bot. Actually, I think I'm going to make a political prediction here. But I think that it's not going to be long before people realize that the robots are taking our jobs.
That's exactly right.
That at some point it's going to be politically difficult to admit that you're working on automation of any kind.
Right.
Do you think?
Yep. No, I think this is right now. I think this is the big misunderstanding about jobs right
now.
Yeah,
it's automation. People think it's immigrants. It's not. It's robots.
Right. Right.
So I wonder if Microsoft's going to downplay this at some point. Because what they're working on, it sounds like, is automation.
Yeah, right. And they've been, you know, Satya Nadella keeps putting out statements about the need for ethics in what they're doing in robotics and AI. And, you know, this is him saying, we're not going to let, jobs go away. We're going to find ways to retrain people and have them work with AIs and not be replaced by AI. So they know that's a very touchy subject.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And now's the time to, you know, kind of prepare the country and our educational system for a new world where there aren't going to be a lot of entry-level jobs.
Right. You have to work with the robots.
It's kind of too bad that we're scapegoating immigrants when it's really going to be robots.
Robots.
Yeah.
Robots can defend themselves more easily.
Yes, that's true. You can't build a wall against robots.
Be careful around those guys.
It's the robots who will be building the wall.
Right.
We did a really good episode of Triangulation on Monday with Dale Dougherty, who does Make. And he's written, and his co-author was on too, a new book about reinventing cities, but it's also about reinventing education and creating small industrial centers where people can do productive work, but it's a little bit more. It's not big assembly line, massively automated stuff. It's skilled labor, and really calling for cities to kind of develop this stuff and the educational systems to start training young people so that they can get these new jobs that are coming. Anyway, then there's always RoboCop.
sure. Skynet.
Skynet, RoboCop. We're going to take a break. When we come back, we have the back of the book. Rich, you don't have to stick around for this unless you want to.
Sure.
Oh, Rich is easy.
Yeah.
Really, this is just Paul saying stuff flexible. And Mary Jo and saying stuff. You'll just be sitting in the middle looking back and forth. All right, I'm going to let you go, Rich.
All right.
Yeah. Unless,
I'm flexible, like I said.
Well, we didn't prepare. We didn't say, okay, unless you've got a pick or something. I don't see you on the list, so.
It's all right.
We literally gave him the list after he.
Yeah, poor Rich.
I know.
Poor Rich.
We were disorganized.
We'll handle this better
next
time.
No, this is great. You know what? It was great having him. Rich Woods is senior editor for North America at neowin.net. And it's interesting that your Twitter handle is The Rich Woods. Is there another Rich Woods that took your handle before you got there?
Yeah, there's an at Rich Woods, you know.
Bastard.
If I had a time machine, I'd go back to 2009 and secure that account.
You should be not The Rich Woods, but Real Rich Woods. That's what all the cool kids are doing now. Yeah. The Real Rich Woods. Hey, thank you so much. It's nice to meet you.
Thanks for having
me. Great to have you on. Neowin.net. And we're going to take a break while we reset the cameras or something. I'm making stuff up at this point. Our show today is brought to you by our good friends at WordPress, WordPress.com. WordPress is, I love this stat, powers 27% of all the websites in the, 27% of all the websites in the world, including some of the biggest names in business, news, and tech. I think Therot.com, even Therot.com.
It's even Therot.
Even Therot, that mega conglomerate Therot.com.
WordPress means business. They know you do too. So create your small business website at WordPress.com today with built-in search engine optimization, mobile-friendly design. Of course, your customers can find your website easily and access it from any device. And not only do more websites run on WordPress, but because 27% of all the websites are on WordPress, there are a lot more people who can help you. Third-party developers, customizers, programmers. There's a great ecosystem. It's the best. And 24/7 support, of course, from WordPress.com. Find answers to your questions and go back to getting stuff done. Come see why more websites run on WordPress than on any other platform. Join the thousands of small businesses who use WordPress for theirs. WordPress is right now offering you to kind of celebrate 27% off. See, at first I went, why 27%? Now I understand. 27% because they own 27% of the web. 27% off a premium or business plan when you go to WordPress.com/windows. WordPress.com/windows to start your small business website today. 27% off, but you got to go to WordPress.com/windows. Time for Paul Thurrott and his pick. What are you laughing?
His pick of the week.
It's
time for me.
Time for Thurrott. It's Thurrott time.
While you were doing that,
Dad,
I got an update from Brad. So I think I will provide you with that update,
which is... How's his tummy?
He's not going to die, so that's good.
That's good.
I don't want to, violate his privacy per se, but he has, that internal bleeding issue.
He's got explosive diarrhea. It's okay. You can say.
I don't mean it like that, but, it's a little more serious than that. But right now, he's just going to rest. He's taking blood thickening medicine. Obviously, the idea is whatever is bleeding, you want it to stop bleeding, and hopefully not by some invasive means. So that's the plan for now. So he's going to rest, and he should be okay. And hopefully that's the end of it.
Good.
That's a relief.
Good to hear.
Hey, we're thinking of you, Brad. Feel better. I know
I have to do more work when he's not around.
Yeah.
Why does nobody think about how this impacts me? Is how my mother would handle this. Anyway.
this just in, Skype went perfectly in the White House, and Rafael Rivera is cheering.
Good.
Yes. Right. I want that version of Skype. I want the version of Skype
I'm telling you, Skype TX, yep.
Yeah, I want that. I have...
We need that.
I don't know if we've never really discussed this, but I have a lot of problems with Skype. Maybe someday I'll write about that.
I can tell you now, it was a secret. It was a secret, but we were testing Skype TX for several months. And the problem is it's essentially the same. It's just got more buttons and dials at our end. Mm-hmm. So I don't know if it would save your pain. Mm. But we're probably going to get those talk show boxes and start using that from
the new tech
people.
Nice.
Yeah. Same ones used in the White House for the press conferences. And I'm also looking at some other choices that would involve you guys having to run a custom client, but it might be a little bit better. There's some kind of higher end voice and video providers out there. And so we're going to look at that because I know you're suffering. I don't want you to suffer. No suffering.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you for acknowledging my suffering.
Yeah, I feel your pain, man.
The usual response I get when I complain about things to Microsoft is like, oh, that's the first time anyone's ever brought that up. I'll reconnoiter with the team and see what they say. Anywho. So
tip of the week
is I've written an article about choosing the right living room set-top box. It's really going to be boxes because one of the problems with all these boxes is that there is no one box that does everything. So if you've got content in Apple or Google or Amazon or Microsoft or whatever, there is no one thing that does all that stuff. And that kind of stinks. It's especially a problem for people in the Microsoft camp, which is why I wrote about it, because we literally have nothing. There is not a single set-top box in the world that supports Microsoft's content services like Groove or the Microsoft Movies and TV service, which is terrible. And this is something it's sort of like the Office 365 number thing. I bring this up from time to time because I'm curious why nothing has been done about this. Microsoft could write apps for Roku or Apple TV or Android TV or all of those things. It'd be great. I don't know why they don't. Or they could come out with their own set-top box, which they've been rumored to do, and it kind of comes and goes, and we'll see. But the best you can do right now on the Microsoft end is to get an Xbox, right? Because it's the one box that does have all that stuff. It's $250. It has a fan. It's about as powerful as a lunar lander, and it's really big. It's not the same as like a Roku, but that's basically your only good solution.
By the way, I think Microsoft wants to use that as a slogan.
What's that?
Xbox, the only box that does all that stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It is. And it has a whole app ecosystem. It has all the other stuff too, but it's a slightly ponderous way to do this stuff.
Raphael's final tweet, White House press briefing for Skype Q&A went off.
I gotta make him use his powers for good again. I gotta work up.
Yes, you do. This is your job.
It's a little meme heavy, I think, in the last few tweets. Yep.
Now I will never get Shia LaBeouf out of my head. Anyway, Microsoft updated its Microsoft Authenticator app on Android and iOS over the past week. I didn't actually notice it till the other day when they did it on the iPhone. But this is actually a really big update. I have just sort of a running tip that you should enable two-factor authentication on all of your accounts that support it. Microsoft account is one of them. It's a very important account. You need to protect it. So 2FA is the way to go. Microsoft's version of 2FA, I know it's not exactly the same thing. It's called two-step verification. They are literally not exactly the same, but they're, for all intents and purposes, the same kind of thing. Their Microsoft Authenticator app is excellent, and on Microsoft accounts, it allows you to do like a pop-up thing where you approve it. You don't have to type in codes. It's really nice. But they've made it even easier, and I'm curious, Leah, what you think about this. Now you can approve logins from your phone, from the Authenticator app on your phone, without typing in your password.
Yeah.
So in other words, you're on your PC, you go to OneDrive.com for the first time ever, let's say. You type in your Microsoft account, email address, but you don't type in your password. You choose use an app instead for the first time, then it will just automatically do this.
And it pops up a notification says, do you approve
this login? And it does it on the phone.
But that's not new. They've had this feature for some time.
Not on Microsoft account.
Microsoft Authenticator that allowed me to do that, and Google's been doing it now.
Well, no. Okay, right. So let me make sure I am communicating the difference. The way this worked until this past week was you went to the OneDrive website, you typed in your email address, but you also typed in your password. Then it would go and say,
it's not even asking for the password now.
Right. So in other words, what they're doing, what they call this feature is phone sign in.
Back to single factor authentication.
Well, it's not clear to me yet how this works over the long term. You know, like the first time you do something like this is like additional steps. So, for example, I mentioned the first time you do this, you have to say, I'm not doing this the normal way. I'm not going to do the password. I'm going to use an app instead. And then the way it works now is let me see if I get this right. The website on the PC throws up three numbers after this, like 14, 54, and 36. And then you have one number on the phone. And you have to select the right number to get into the site.
All right.
Now, I don't think it's going to work that way every single time. I think literally the point of this is that
it's still single factor. I mean,
so you think it's single factor?
Yeah. But if somebody had your phone.
If someone had your phone. Yeah. I mean,
I know what they're doing. You know what? I just thought what they're doing. Yep. So they put a cookie on your browser. So somebody would have to have your phone and be sitting at your browser.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
You'd have to be right.
So there's a token on your browser. So it is two-factor, I guess. It's two things you have as opposed to a thing you have.
Yeah, there you go. And that's actually a subtle difference between two-step verification and two-factor, right? I guess I'm curious about this. My first reaction to this was it doesn't seem like it's all that much easier, but actually it is. It's tons easier. And this is part of Microsoft's goal to get rid of passwords, right? But so if you're using something like LastPass, where it's generating huge complex passwords that you know nothing about, in tandem with this, and you're logging into your PC, you're not doing a no password thing over there, and you're logging into your phone, which you should be doing on both these devices, right?
You don't have to do it again and again. I think that's okay.
Yeah.
Because you authenticate it once with two-factor, and then thereafter you need only use the phone. But it's making sure that it's still you. It's so somebody in Russia can't log in as you, even if they had your phone.
Right.
They'd have to be sitting at your computer. So
they'd have to have both, and would have to be logged into both.
Yeah. We'll run this by Steve Gibson. You know, Google's moving in this direction as well, but they still require. So now when I go to a Google site, I still enter my name and password, but instead of having to enter in a 6-digit authentication code,
it just pops up
on my screen. Yep. And Microsoft's been doing that for a while, too. But this but this is different. This doesn't
takes
require
it another
the password.
Step, yeah. Right? It's very interesting.
Well, we got to get away from passwords, so I'm all for that.
Yeah.
That sounds like a good compromise between security and convenience.
I need to use it more. The problem is it's hard to trigger these things, right? Like I've logged into everything everywhere, right? So every so often you need to do it again because it's been 30 days or whatever.
As long as they do that, I think that's pretty good.
I started just installing web browsers so I could log into stuff for the first time just to see what it would do, you know. Mm-hmm. But it's unclear how it works over time. Like, so I need to just keep using it and see how it goes. But it seems like it's going to be simpler. While still being secure enough, given the fact that I secure all my devices.
Yeah, nobody's sitting at your computer.
Yeah.
Your computer you have to log into, so.
Right, that's what I mean. And if you have, like, modern devices, you're using a fingerprint reader on the phone, and you're using a camera or a fingerprint reader on your computer, it seems like this is pretty safe.
I think it's good. Yeah. All right. App? Oh, that was the app. Okay. Now let's do... Let's do Mary Jo Foley's Enterprise Pick of the Week.
Yes, I have it wrong in the notes, but it's next Wednesday, not Tuesday. It's Windows Developer Day. Mark your calendars, February 8th.
Do I get to wear a special hat?
You do. You can wear whatever you want. Or you can be like that naked jogger in Redmond and wear just sneakers. It's up to you. Did you hear about that one?
Well, I think I've heard everything now I need to know, really. Just he was naked.
Cops found a guy running along the side of Microsoft's campus wearing nothing but sneakers recently.
Okay, that's good.
Okay. Mm-hmm. but back to Developer Day, February 8th. You can go on Microsoft's developer site, which is developer.microsoft.com. Top right-hand corner, RSVP today for this. It's a free webcast. They're going to talk all about things that developers need to know about the Windows 10 Creators Update. So they're going to talk about what's new in UWP tooling, XAML, Bash, of course, and more. And it's a multiple-hour event with a keynote. There's some talk about Cortana skills. Things that developers should know about what's changing around the Windows Store, developer tools and updates, and a Q&A. It's like a 3 or 4 hour event. If you are somebody who has developed or want to develop apps for Creators Update, you should probably tune into this next week. So that's one of my enterprise picks for the week. Then I have another one about Notepad, because that's everyone's favorite text editor, I'm sure. Microsoft has a place you can go and vote if you are so inclined for a dark theme for Windows 10 Notepad. So if you are interested in Windows 10 Notepad getting a dark theme, go to aka.ms/LGSXKC.
I just uploaded
AKA,
it.
I knew you would.
Yes.
aka.ms/LGSXKC. KC. I even wrote a poem about this last week to try to help people who wanted to upvote this.
Yeah.
Would you like to hear my poem?
I would.
I tweeted it. Is your Windows 10 Notepad dream for it to have a dark theme? If so, here you go. And I gave the URL. So there you go.
You know, here's another angle. Linux has had this for years. Shouldn't we?
Yes.
<Yeah.
laughs> mm-hmm. Right. Yes.
Dark theme. Love it.
Dark theme.
Love it.
And not everyone wants a dark theme.
When you go to that URL, it opens the Microsoft Feedback Hub. So if you mm-hmm. if you're already in the Feedback Hub, I guess you could look for that. Is that what they're using that for, or that kind of thing?
Yeah. I mean, you can vote on features and upvote things and give them feedback on things that aren't working and are working in Windows 10.
All right. By the way, that's a capital L, so it's capital LGSXKC, because I'm pretty sure it's case sensitive. Capital LGSXKC.
Yep.
And now the code name pick of the week.
Codename pick of the week. I don't think I've ever made this the pick, but it's something that's going to be coming up fairly soon in the news. So I think we should make it the pick, if even if it's again. The codename is Oasis. So if you hear Microsoft talk about Oasis, that is the codename for the Windows holographic shell that's in Windows 10. And the reason I think we're going to be hearing more about this is I believe there's going to be some SDK information for people building apps using this coming out around the time of the Game Developers Conference in March. So I think we're going to start hearing more again about how Microsoft's enabling its partners to build these cheaper VR headsets that take advantage of the Windows holographic shell that's part of the Creator's Update. So that shell itself, that holographic shell for Windows for these headsets, is codenamed Oasis. If you hear Oasis, that's what that is. Why is it Oasis? I don't know. Another one.
It's a watery spot in the middle of the desert.
Right.
Or something.
Yeah. A derivative band from England?
Or that. So no, they live in a northern land. I'm ready for some beer.
Okay.
And before we do this, we have to ask you, podcast listeners, are you over 21? If
yes.
not, please tune
Don't
to
listen.
How Things Work podcast or something else. Grammar Girl. What's your beer?
My beer today is from Firestone Walker in Paso Robles.
I love that name.
They do wines there, but they also do some excellent dark beers. They're known for some of their bourbon barrel beers. But today's pick is not that. Today's pick is a Firestone Walker sour beer, and the name is called Creaky Bones, K-R-I-E-K-Y. So if you're a beer person, you probably know creak beers are cherry beers.
Oh.
And this is a cherry sour beer. They age it with sour cherries in oak barrels, I believe. And so if you're somebody who's been kind of interested in sours, but not looking for something super sour, I would say try this. If you like cherries and you're intrigued by the idea of a sour beer, this is kind of a nice entry-level sour, if you can find it.
Very
so look for
nice.
Creek Bones. Very it's very nice. Refreshing.
You are wonderful, Mary Jo Ferry. Wonderful.
And that, my friends, concludes this fine episode of Windows Weekly with our special guest, Rich Woods of NeoWin. That was fun.
Yes, he did a great job.
I know it wasn't really planned, but it was fun.
Yeah.
We thought Paul
he was
would,
a good sport about it.
Yeah, we didn't know Paul would be out of Africa, so.
Right.
Yep.
And Brad, we wish you the
Super
best.
Brad.
I somehow doubt Brad's listening right now, but.
Right.
Yep.
Hope you feel better. And I hope you all come back and do this again with us next Wednesday, 11 a.m. Pacific, 2 p.m. Eastern Time, 1900 UTC for Windows Weekly every week. You can watch live and join us in the chat room at irc.twit.tv, but you don't have to because we make on-demand audio and video available always at twit.tv/ww or wherever you get your favorite podcasts. And, of course, catch Paul's act all week long at therot.com, T-H-U-R-O-double-good.com, T-H-U-R-R-O-double-good.com. Two R's, two T's. That means it's four times better. Mary Jo Foley's All About Microsoft at allaboutmicrosoft.com, her ZDNet blog. And together they join us every week right here at this time. Thanks, guys.
Thank you.
Have a great week. You're going anywhere? You're going to be back next week?
I'm going to be here.
I didn't know about the Africa trip. Wow.
Yeah, it was kind of a surprise. Yeah. Surprise. I went to.
Wow. Well, we're glad you didn't. I mean, I'm not glad you didn't for the reasons you didn't, but I'm glad you were here.
Yeah.
Thanks, everybody. We'll see you next time on Windows Weekly. Bye-bye.
Thanks.